but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Spencer McLaughlin does college football content, Locked On College Football, Locked On Oregon Ducks, play-by-play down at Southern Utah, puts in some good golf work in during the summertime as well, and he joins us on the show. Judah Dubey, Stephen Vaughn, in for Canzano. You still getting out to play golf, or is it all broadcast mode now?
First broadcast was yesterday, but no broadcast today, so 18 holes were played on my end as I got back down here to Southern Utah.
Did you know that it's 100 degrees here in Portland today?
There's 108 on the golf course. Cry me a river, Judah.
Jeez Louise. What time did you get out there?
10 a.m. Okay. It wasn't that bad for the first night, and then it heated up on the back once the sun came out. But, you know, just put a wet towel around your neck. Embrace the sweat. It's an easy way to lose weight. Boy, you feel so light after a round like that.
Did you do the three holes on Instagram today?
No, didn't do that. I was in a foursome, so slowing everybody down for that is not something that I've gotten comfortable enough with yet.
Yeah.
That's a solo venture when I know I'm going to be waiting on people in front of me, and I want to make the time go by a little bit better.
That's the, you know, home course at Black Butte. You know, that's when you can stretch out a little bit for the content. Hey.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
All right, SEC man, they finally gave in. 9-game conference schedule. Everybody, give them a round of applause, huh?
Yeah. Do we owe Kurt Cignetti an apology? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, the funny thing is, number one, bullying works, kids. I'm not a parent. But I think that it's about time. And there is a piece of bad news that's, you know, in the shuffle of what is ultimately good news, because we get more college football games that are fun to watch. We get more college football games that are fun to talk about, that have, you know, real legitimate impact. But I think the funny thing is that, you know, the SEC has been firing all the shots at Kurt Cignetti for a while. And, you know, now they actually have a more legitimate retort, because they can look at him and say, hey, we're going to 9 conference games, and we're all going to play at least one Power 4 non-conference opponent. Your turn, Kurt. And at the moment, he wouldn't have a comeback for that. So, you know, I'm glad that we've gotten to this point, because I think that it's better for college football overall. I do think it probably means the playoff is going to expand. That's a bummer, but, you know, if that's going to happen, then let's make the best of it.
Yeah, and the, you know, changing of the analytics, as it were, with the College Football Playoff Committee and being more of a strength of schedule than a strength of victory. Where'd you come out on all that with the advanced analytics that Mike Riley and everybody are going to use?
You know, wait and see mode, frankly. I know the anti-SEC crowd was using it, like Danny Cannell was using it as, you know, a way to take a shot at the SEC and, oh, look, 2 years without a national title or not playing in the game, and they got to change the metrics already. Like, I don't think the language, like, I'm in wait-and-see mode because I don't think the language of it is actually objectionable. You know, you should be punished more for losing a game to a bad team and punished less for losing a game to a really good team. Well, we actually already agree on that, I think, and we also already are doing that. You know, Ole Miss didn't get into the playoff last year despite Lane Kiffin's best efforts. Why? Because they lost to Kentucky, who sucked, and then they beat South Carolina, they being Ole Miss, So same record, head-to-head, goes to Ole Miss. You can't go in that direction. And then Bama had two bad losses to Oklahoma and Vanderbilt. So I don't know. Like, we'll see if there are major changes this year, but everyone kind of treated that as big news, and I kind of thought, I guess it could be different. We'll see how they apply it to this season of college football, but I don't think it was, you know, as revolutionary as it maybe seemed. But if you're skeptical because it seems like, you know, 3 days before the season they roll out a piece of news like that, and it seems like they're trying to just get it under the news cycle, yeah, that's, I think, a fair criticism.
Talking to Spencer McLaughlin, Locked On College Football, Locked On Oregon Ducks. You ready to get your Aer Lingus on tomorrow morning, Spencer?
Oh, I would not miss it for the world. I mean, what else am I doing tomorrow? I don't have, I guess I'd be golfing. But, you know, I can take a day off for the return of college football. I would not miss the opportunity to walk 8 wins. But I'm mostly thrilled that we've got a week one contest that's a legitimately good game, a legitimately important game. I mean, it's not overstating things at all to say somebody's playoff or Big 12 title hopes could, in the future, in retrospect, have been on the line in this game. Like, it has that sort of, those sorts of stakes, because these are two teams that are capable of making the Big 12 championship game. And these are two programs that can make the college football playoff. And they might look back and, you know, one could go 10-2 with a loss in this game, miss the Big 12 title game and not go to the playoff, look back and go, wow, we lost that game in Ireland. I don't know why we're playing it in Ireland. That's stupid. But we lost that game in Ireland, and that was the difference between us getting to the playoff and not, or getting to the Big 12 championship game or not. So, I love that there's a great game to, you know, really welcome us back to college football. And then next week, I mean, the week one slate is just phenomenal.
Who do you like in K-State, Iowa State?
I like Kansas State. I don't think it's easy. I think this will be a good competitive game. But just instinctually, when I first thought about the game, like, yeah, I think Kansas State wins. There's not a bad argument for Iowa State. There's not no argument for Iowa State. It's just, I like Kansas State, and, you know, they're not replacing quite as much from a season ago compared to Iowa State that, you know, got to replace a couple of receivers like Jalen Noel who were really, really good for them. So, I'll take Kansas State. I wish this game were being played on a campus, but I'm still happy that, you know, we've got a game in week zero. I'll be tuned into the other games, too. You know, Dan Mullen's return, Hawaii Stanford's kind of fun for, you know, a college football sicko like me. I'll be tuned in all that. But, the first game tomorrow, that's one that'll have everybody buzzing and really realizing, oh, hey, this college football thing's really back.
Talking to Spencer McLaughlin, the hype around, and maybe hype's not the right word, but the sneaky pick that everybody's trying to make right now, and I mean everybody, is the Washington Huskies, the non-ranked preseason AP poll team. Look out for Washington, you know, Damon Williams this, Jonah Coleman that. Where do you come out on Husky football this year?
Well, I hopefully we recognize that Jonah Coleman does have a statistical fumble in his career. The fine folks at the Big Ten Network did not, and neither did Jonah, but that's okay. I kid, because I've always liked Jonah Coleman going back to his time in Arizona. But, yeah, I mean, I think Washington's a good team this year. It's not a game that Oregon can overlook. I don't think it will be like last year. I think Oregon should – they are favored in that game. I think they should be favored in that game, and that's all good and fine. But, yeah, on the road against a better Washington team, and Oregon maybe not quite to the level they were last year, I think that's a much tougher game. And I think Washington has made some upgrades in the trenches. I don't know that it's enough. I mean, they were literally worse than the Big Ten sacks allowed last year. So not thrilled with that part of it. And I think that's where their question remains. But, you know, Damon Williams can be a really good quarterback. They've got a really good running back, a future early round draft pick, a receiver in Denzel Boston. I think they made a good defensive coordinator hire in Ryan Walters after losing Steve Belichick to North Carolina. So, yeah, Jed Fish is a good coach, and he did not have a ton to work with last year. And I predicted him 6-6 last year. They went 6-7 after they went 6-6, lost their bowl game, and I think they're 8-4 this year.
You know, we were talking about Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Williams, you know, great seasons for them as freshman wide receivers, especially Jeremiah Smith. Do you think by the end of this year we'll be talking in those terms about DeCorian Moore after 1 year at Oregon?
You know, it's exciting to think about that possibility at Oregon because that just hasn't been – I mean, he's easily the most hyped wide receiver recruit of all time. He's the highest rated, most hyped, and, you know, I mean, even Troy Franklin – who's a borderline five-star coming in, didn't have this level of buzz. So it's certainly exciting to be able to have that, just to be able to have that discussion. I wonder about the wide receiver room. You know, DeCorian Moore is going to play. He's too talented to not play. No Evan Stewart, no Jerrion Dickey. He's going to play. To me, it's just a question of how much and, you know, how ready is he, really? But if he isn't fully ready right away, that's all right for Oregon. Like the perfect situation that he's in, it is one that if he's good enough to just be, you know, Ryan Williams from last year and start making a name for himself right away, great. Then that's just going to happen. But Oregon doesn't have to get that to still have a good wide receiver room, even with the guys who are not going to be there this fall, or most of it at least. So I think that that's a great situation for him to be in. He's surrounded by some really solid veterans, and Justice Lowe and Gary Bryant, who can show him the ropes and, you know, allow him to kind of work his way into college football. So really, really excited to watch him because he's just such an intriguing prospect. But I love the situation that he's in with the guys around him and the offense that he's coming into.
You know, Josh Pate has his national championship game, Alabama over Oregon in the national championship this year. Which one of those teams do you think is a better bet to make it to Miami at the end of the rainbow?
I'd take Alabama. I think they've got a little bit more. I wouldn't take either one, to be honest with you, but I'd take Alabama of those two just because the roster around their quarterback, where they do have questions, they kind of have the same quarterback situation that Oregon does, which is fun. You know, former five-star recruit who has waited his turn in the age of the transfer portal, and now he's, you know, hopefully going to be able to go out there and shine. I think Alabama's roster and core is just a little bit more experienced than Oregon. Certainly the Ducks are very talented. No one's disputing that. But, yeah, I need to see what Ty Simpson can be before I'd be that confident in Alabama, because the little we have seen from him in college football, like Dante Moore, wasn't impressive. He and Dante Moore, almost the exact same story. Like, pound for pound, move for move in their college careers, other than Dante Moore transferred from UCLA to Oregon to sit, and Ty Simpson has just sat at Alabama. You know, we've seen Ty Simpson for, like, part of an ugly game at South Florida, I think 2 years ago, and yikes. It was a major yikes. But is he in a better situation now? Yeah, absolutely. So I think those are interesting teams for Josh to have in his national championship game. Those would not be my picks personally, but, you know, certainly those are two programs that recruit at a level to where they expect to be in that conversation every year.
Meanwhile, in Corvallis, Stephen and I were just, you know, having fun with this a few minutes ago. What if Malik Murphy is just really, really good, and no one's really, like, expecting it yet? How good could Oregon State be if they have one of those guys at quarterback?
I think they can be an 8-9 win team. Like, is 10 in the card? I don't know. That's maybe, like, everything goes perfectly, you win 10 games. But yeah, I see no reason why Oregon State shouldn't expect to take a step forward this year. And, you know, the way that I talk about him is with an eye towards 2026, because, you know, ultimately the optimistic view of the New World Pac-12, and realistic one as well, is that if you're the conference champion, you are going to have a chance to get to the college football playoffs, and it's going to be a really good chance. So everything that Oregon State fans watch this year, I think is it should have an eye looking towards 2026. Like, okay, is this a long-term solution with offensive coordinator? Is Trent Bray the guy at head coach? I mean, if they go out and bomb and go 3-9 this year, Trent Bray is probably not going to coach a game in the Pac-12. That'd be now the financial considerations notwithstanding there. So I think that, you know, they've got the tools to take a step forward. The quarterback situation last year was not good, and it should be significantly improved. I am a big Malik Murphy fan. He's got to cut down on the turnovers, but I don't think Oregon State's offense is one that's going to, you know, put him in as many turnover-worthy situations, maybe, as what he had at Duke. But, you know, still, he's got to improve that. And if he does, and I think he can, you know, I think about what DJ Uiagalelei did a couple of years ago. Then he went to Florida State and put out, I don't even want to think about that offense. It hurts my brain to ponder the fact that that was a Power Four program that cost millions of dollars. It was so bad. So I think he can succeed, and that Oregon State can be a significantly better team this year.
BYU goes with Bear Bachmeyer as starting quarterback. He's going to rock number 47.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a decision, you know? The 47 has some ties to the LDS Church and some important historical dates, as I understand it. So it's kind of epic. My guy Jake Hatch of Locked On BYU said he's seen him in number 47 for 8 practices and is still not used to him yet wearing that number. So I think that for college football fans, that's going to take some getting used to as well.
I need to brush up on my LDS knowledge then, because I was like, that might be one of the boldest decisions in college football. And it's a true freshman doing that too. I mean, or maybe a redshirt freshman, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah, you got to have some stones. And I don't believe he is actually of LDS faith. So it's even more interesting in that respect. But you know, it's unfortunate that the Red Sox situation unfolded the way it did for BYU. Were they a quarterback-driven team? No. Is their schedule favorable? Yes. But you're now asking a true freshman based on last year to make some magic happen the way that Jake Retzloff did? I think that's asking a lot.
Their first game, by the way, against Portland State next Saturday in Provo. Portland State playing tomorrow in triple digits at Hillsborough Stadium against Tarleton State. Football is here, baby. We're out here playing in triple digits. That's what it's all about. Spencer, thanks for stopping by, my friend. Enjoy your Aer Lingus in the morning, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys as always.
Spencer McLaughlin, Locked On College Football and Oregon Ducks, and also writes at 750thegame.com, has a weekly piece that we have on our website on Oregon football. So check those out each and every week throughout the football season as well. We'll bounce a break, come back, and wrap things up on the other side on a Friday full of serious heat here in 750 The Game in the BFT Radio Network.